He believed the Bible was the Word of God from generations all the way through revolutions. Had the solid affirmation, this is the Word of God. Now let's look at what Timothy's encouraged to do. Take in, as we read in chapter 4, what the apostle tells him to do in relation to his responsibility. Look at verse 6 again. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, how we need to be reminded, as Paul has written before, then you'll be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. Can I again make a plea? Get into the doctrines of the Bible. Know them. Study them. And be entrenched in them and fortified in them. And refusing all that is, as Paul mentions, like profane and old wives' fables. But may I point out something? Now carefully watch it. You've got it emphasized in these pastoral epistles. 1st and 2nd Timothy as well as Titus. Sound doctrine should be accompanied by sound living. Sound doctrine should be accompanied by sound living. Paul goes on to say, exercise thyself rather unto godliness. My fellow brother and sister in Christ, may I be practical to you as well as to my own soul. Godliness of life should accompany the profession of my doctrine. I believe in 1 Timothy, in the pastoral epistles, and only in Peter, I believe, you have the word godliness in your New Testament. Piety. We saw, as we mentioned this morning in chapter 3 and verse 16, it could be translated, great is the mystery of piety. The likeness of the Lord Jesus when he was here upon the earth in his character, in his person, in his testimony. And so the Lord Jesus should be revealed in you and in me by the godliness of our life. Godliness with contentment, Paul says in chapter 6, is great gain. And oh, beloved, let me please state, my fellow believer, whatever your calling in life may be, pay attention to godliness. Exercise thyself unto godliness. You may take physical exercise. It profits, but only for a little time. But, as Paul goes on to say, bodily exercise is profitable for a little time, but godliness is profitable unto all things. And it has the promise of that which is now and also of that which is to come. Oh, my beloved fellow believer, there's no apology for a godly life. There may often have to be apology for not being godly. But here's the accompaniment of sound doctrine. Paul has been teaching it relative to the house of God. Now he makes it practical to his own son in the faith and to you and to me personally. Be exercised to live godly. For may I say frankly, please may I say, whatever doctrine you learn, it really isn't a part of you until you lived it. Until you've lived it. And it's all given. Let me quote 2 Timothy 3:16 again. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. God breathed. It's profitable for doctrine. That's the basic foundation. For reproof or conviction when I'm wrong. And third, for correction. What for? For right living. For right living. That the man of God may be complete, truly furnished unto all good works. My beloved Paul is emphasizing to Timothy, Timothy, teach these things, but be sure you live right. As the poet once said, I can't hear what you say. As he looks at the man's life, What you say I can't hear. Oh, my beloved, the world may not listen to your words, but I tell you one thing they do, they look at your life. As the poet put it, your life speaks so loud, I cannot hear what you say. And Paul is exhorting. Verse 8, let me read it again. Please note the prophet. For bodily exercises profiteth for a little time, but godliness is profitable unto all things. And it has the promise of the life that now is in its profit. And there's a promise of blessing and reward for that which is to come. Oh, the joy of knowing the profit of godly living. And Paul goes on to say, this is a faithful saying. It's worthy of everyone accepting it. This is twice he's uttered this expression. Please may I point it out? He does it in chapter 1 and verse 15 for salvation. This is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And what a joy to recognize the theme of the gospel. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. It's a faithful truth, and it will save those who believe it. And the joy of knowing everyone can accept it if they will. Now Paul goes further than being saved. It's a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, how to live. How to live. How to live. I remember a little poem years ago I used to know. Teach me to live. 'Tis easier far to die. Gently and silently to pass away. On earth's long night to close the heavy eye and waken in realms of a glorious day. Teach me that hard lesson, how to live, to serve thee in every path of life. Arm me for conflict now, fresh vigor give, and make me more than conqueror in the strife. Many other verses, but that's enough. Teach me to live. Well did Paul put it in those excellent words of Philippians 1:21. For to me, to live is Christ. To die, gain. And this is what he's saying again. To live right, profitable. For even now, and profitable, gain in the future. And then, will you please note why? In verse 10, what he suffered for it, but why he did it. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach. Because we trust in the living God. Will you note the connection with chapter 3 and verse 15? As we saw, the church is the house of God is the church of the living God. The living God. And in the days of Paul, in those heathen days of paganism and darkness that surrounded him amongst the Gentiles and the nations to whom he preached. The false gods meant nothing, then were nothing. But there were many of them, but he represented the living God. The living God. And that living God, we trust in him. Why do we trust in him? Because he is the Savior of all men, and especially of those that believe. Doesn't mean that he saved everyone, but he wants to. And he's the Savior for them all, and especially for those of us who have believed. Oh, my beloved, thank God. We belong to that company which is called the Church of the Living God. The Living God, he's not dead. I'm sure you remember years past, not too many years ago, we started talking about God being dead. Foolishness, we know that. But the living God. And oh, the joy of knowing we serve the living God, as well as trust in him. Now Paul is enjoining Timothy in verse 11, these things I command thee to teach. These things command. Teach them. Again. What is doctrine but the teaching of the Word of God? All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and profitable for teaching. May I again repeat the emphasis? Your assembly of believers will be no stronger than your strength in the doctrines you believe, the truth you believe. Because we're to be the pillar, the support, and the ground, the depositing of what? God's truth. God's truth. God's truth. God's truth. God's truth. Where do I find it? Did not the Lord Jesus say long ago in his prayer in John 17, sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. Can I raise a question, please? I ask it fairly, and I ask it lovingly. How much do you read about of the truth of God compared to your other reading? Compared to your other reading. The entrance of thy word, said the psalmist, giveth light, giveth understanding to the simple. Thy words were found, said Jeremiah, and I did eat them, and they were to me the joy and the rejoicing of mine heart. And the joy of realizing, as Timothy is commanded, teach these things. And can I say lovingly, would to God he would raise up more teachers who are true to the word of God. But now going on, before we close, you find him saying to Timothy, let no man despise thy youth. Timothy was young, but he was entrenched, built up in the word of God. Let no man despise thy youth, but, and please know, be thou an example, not for the unsaved. Be thou an example to the believers. What a testimony. Be thou an example of the believers. Can I emphasize what Peter does in 1 Peter chapter 5 in regard to the elders as he writes to them in chapter 5 verse 1 through 4? Their responsibility not to be despots over the house of God, but to be ensamples or examples to the flock. My brother, let me say this to you also, my dear sister. My responsibility more than anything else is to be an example to you. And your responsibility is to be an example in the house of God too. Are you? Am I? Very frankly, we follow only those who are really examples. Whatever their example might be in their character. And when it comes to the house of God, Timothy, be an example to the believer. He was young! Yes. But though young, taught in the things of God, sound in the faith, and strong in the faith, yet he had to be careful. In word, in manner of living, in love, in faith, and in purity. In purity. Until I come, give attendance to reading, and I believe he means public reading of the scriptures, and give attendance to, and here again he emphasizes, and in your exhortation, give attendance to doctrine, to the truth of God. Right doctrine, the word of God, the truth of God. You know what? If it wasn't for the Bible, I couldn't preach. In fact, I wouldn't. I couldn't preach a sermon without using my Bible. I'd be crazy. And you wouldn't want me here. I hope you wouldn't. But that's the book. That's the source of the teaching. The Word of God. The Word of God. And he goes on to say, neglect not the gift that is in thee, given to thee by prophecy and the laying on of the hands of the presbytery or elders. Meditate upon these things. One thing I'm learning more than ever in my life, the joy, the privilege, and the blessing of meditation. Meditation.